This is Oystermouth Radio coming to you on oystermouthradio.com. I'm Peter Tremuen, and today we're at Craigan Oss Preparatory School on Clein Common, Bishopston. With me is Gareth Fursland, who is the head teacher. Hello, Gareth. Thank you for inviting us to Craigan Oss.
Pleasure.
It's something I'm sure our listeners will find extremely interesting. Just to begin with, could you tell us something about the history of the school? I understand it was founded in 1920, but not actually on this site.
No, it's got a varied history, actually. It did begin in 1920 at the Friends Meeting House, the Quaker Meeting House on Page Street in the middle of town. The founders of the school were the Lloyd brothers. In fact, the school was known as Lloyd School up until about the 1950s. They'd come out of the First World War, were very highly educated brothers from Swansea, who decided to start a school to benefit children within, boys in those days, within the area. Yeah. So it began in 1920. After three terms, they moved from there to Uplands. From Uplands, the school moved to a large house on Parkwyn Road, which is no longer there. I think the American Army put paid to that during the Second World War. Then it moved to Sketty Road, then to Eton Crescent, and we came here in 1983.
So it's quite a little roundabout journey.
It has had, yes.
Yeah, yeah,
I think we've been here longer than we've been anywhere.
Yeah, right, so. Right. This is a very nice building, lovely building, with a lovely aspect and on a lovely site, I think. Could you tell us something of the history of this particular building?
Right, this goes back to the late 1800s. It was built by a Mr. English who owned the Swansea Pottery Company. Not the fine bone china Swansea pottery, but the clay downpipes and things that used to be put on all the buildings.
Not quite so valuable then.
Not quite as valuable, unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, it was built in about 1897. He moved here with his wife and handicapped son, but tragically his wife died in a fire in the house. His son died soon afterwards, and by about 1909 that he'd moved out to Walter Road, where most people were then living with businesses in town. And this was put on the market. I think it was the Poor Sisters of Nazareth who bought it in about late 1920s. Mm-hmm. And then began Nazareth House.
Which is next door.
Which is next door. Mm. And is now Campion Gardens.
Of course, yeah.
The nuns left in about 1997, when Campion Gardens was bought by a private individual.
Yes.
Originally, this building, the nuns used it as the dormitories for their children's
really?
School.
Really? So it was part of the whole complex, really?
Yes, there is a long passage that links the two properties, which has been severed in the middle now. So
So you can't get through?
You can't get through.
No. Just as well, you might have a few children disappear.
Well, yes, yeah. Possibly. Yes.
Yeah, quite. Oh, that's very interesting. Coming back to the school as it is now... Now, how many departments do you have? What sort of age ranges do you cater for?
Right, we go from 2 to 11. The school originally was a prep school. You introduced us as Craigan Oss Preparatory School.
Yes, yes.
I think really we're Craigan Oss School these days.
That's
because
right.
We're not a preparatory school in the sense of the word.
Ah, right.
Which
right.
was preparing children to go away to school at 13.
Yes, quite.
In its origins. But since about 1980, there hasn't been much need for... Since about 1980, there's been little requirement for common entrance exam, which children used to sit to go away to school. So we've evolved into a Craigan Oss independent primary school now rather than a preparatory school.
Ah, right.
In terms of departments, we have a playgroup from the age of two. That goes into nursery. Nursery where they have their fourth birthday. And then an infant and a junior department, which takes us up to 11. Where they then leave to go to secondary school.
Yeah, fine. What hours do the children keep here? I mean, presumably each department does it have its own
basically
times?
We're 9 till 3:30. Nursery slightly shorter.
Right.
But that's the school day.
Yeah. As far as the different departments go, I mean, what do they offer? I mean, I suppose it's what you'd expect of a primary school.
Yes, I think because we're only a small school, because we've got a maximum of between 12 and 15 in any class, some classes are smaller than that, it means we can do a little bit more with children than is perhaps possible when there are 25 or 30 in a class.
Yeah.
So we can often progress at a faster rate in certain areas.
Yeah.
But basically each child is an individual within the school, and we do whatever that individual is capable of. Mm. In terms of departments, the infant department is preparing the children ready for our junior department, in terms of concentrating on literacy, numeracy, so that they are completely prepared for what the junior department has to offer. Mm. And then in the junior school, we start the preparation for secondary school. So by the age of 10, then they're beginning to behave a little bit like secondary school children in the structure of their timetable and curriculum. Mm. So that they don't, anything that they face in secondary school isn't daunting to them, so that they can settle quickly.
It's a natural progression then through the various age groups.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when they leave here, do most of them go back into the state system, or?
Interestingly, most do go back into the local school. Most of them are within the Bishopston or Olchfa catchment area, some Bishop Gore, but the majority of children, probably about 80% of our children, do actually go back into the maintenance system.
And they go in obviously well prepared?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. The curriculum you follow here, is there anything particularly you can tell us about? I mean, we hear about the national curriculum that, as far as I know, is imposed but is expected for state schools. Do you come under that jurisdiction as well?
No, we don't have to follow the national curriculum. It makes sense that we do follow it in part, because the children that are leaving us are going back into the system at 11. I think the basic differences would be that we do a lot more in terms of history and geography, modern languages. The children from the age of 8 do some French each year.
Really?
So they're getting a broader depth of knowledge of the minor subjects than they would probably be getting through national curriculum requirements.
Which is much more restrictive, I suppose. And
yes, I think
yours,
we're teaching the subjects in
much
more
broader
depth.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we tend to have individual specialists for each subject. I'm the history teacher in the school. And I'm a historian, so my knowledge of history is greater than it would be if I was just doing it as a general subject. So it tends to impart a bit more interest and knowledge in the children then.
Yeah, that's first class. Are they tested? I mean, you hear about things like SATs and all that type of thing. Does that apply here? Although I believe they don't do SATs anymore.
We don't do SATs anymore, no. They haven't been for 5 or 6 years now. Mm. I think that was perhaps a shame. There wasn't any pressure on the children doing SATs, but it did enable the secondary school to know what standard the children coming to them were.
Yeah.
There aren't any specific tests now. There's a teacher assessment, and we're in good communication with our secondary schools as well. So
yeah, quite. You obviously provide for studies in things like science, music. You mentioned French languages, presumably some sort of religious studies. As far as science is concerned, but what sort of level is that taught at?
In terms of national curriculum, we tend to follow it for English, maths and science, the three core subjects, so that the work that they're doing is at least national curriculum level. It's basically getting children interested in all aspects of the subject which they are then going to study in secondary school, and creating an interest in it and a good knowledge of a foundation knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed from the list of achievements that I've read about that chess is something that features quite strongly here in the school. And what about these championships in Brazil that I've heard about?
Yes, we started chess about 5 or 6 years ago. Somebody came to see us and said the chess would be very good for the children, and a small number started, and it has grown. And chess indeed does seem to be very good for children in terms of their thought process in transferring it into other subjects and things as well. Mm-hmm. But we have had two brothers in school, James and Nicholas Sevens, who are particularly good at chess, and they were both, Nicholas is now in Bishopston Comprehensive, and they both represented Wales in the World Chess Championships.
Really?
In Brazil last October. Yeah. And we've just heard that James, who is now in year five, is representing Wales in the European Championships in Prague in June, and he's also off to the World Championships in Slovenia in November as well. So
that's brilliant.
Yeah, very pleased for him.
Do you play chess yourself?
Not anywhere near as well as James and Nicholas do.
You wouldn't like to take them on.
I struggle with 8-year-olds these days because they're being taught it and I wasn't.
Yes, I can imagine. Tell us about some of the other achievements at this school and anything particular that you can highlight?
I think not necessarily anything in particular, but I think in general terms we're always very pleased with our sporting ability, music, drama. We take part in as many sports as we can. Being a small school, it does make it slightly more difficult in certain areas.
But we
participate against other schools locally in rugby, football, cricket. We have a tennis coach that comes in every week into our sports hall. Every child is swimming during the year. So we get a lot more. I think the children get a lot more PE, physical education, call it what you will, in a week than a lot of children do.
Because of the nature of the school?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think more children get involved, more involved in different sports because we're a small school and we're encouraging that involvement rather than necessarily it just being the best 11 out of 30 that play football. We perhaps encourage others to get better, to make a team, which I think improves the sport there.
So in a way, sorry.
No, I was going to do in music and drama and things the same. We've got an orchestra, we've got a choir, got a 25-strong orchestra that play for assembly, playing a variety of instruments. And that contributes to our school play in the summer where the drama comes in there. We use the Dylan Thomas Theatre for our school play in May every year.
Do you actually perform there?
Yes.
Yes. And where do you hold your rehearsals? There as well?
We put the play together in the school hall for the week before, and then we take a week out and go down to the theatre. So it's all hands to the pump Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, dress rehearsal Wednesday, performance Thursday and Friday.
Is that open to the general public then, or is it?
It can be open to the general public. We do it on two nights, so quite often we're almost full from the point of view of ticket sales.
Yes.
But if anyone from the general public wanted to come, there's no reason at all why they couldn't. It is advertised in the theatre.
Yeah. Well, we can certainly put it out on our station.
Yeah. We're doing Troy Story this year. Troy Story.
As opposed to Toy Story.
It's a joke on Toy Story because it's the story of the wooden horse of Troy and the tales of Troy. It's a bit of fun.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Music. You said you have an orchestra. You have a choir. Do you hold concerts again open to the public or?
Yes. Yes. We go to various places. We go to nursing homes at relevant times of the year. We've been to one in Sketty recently on St David's Day. At Christmas we tend to go to 6 or 7 different nursing homes singing carols.
It's
and
quite
things.
A lot of work then.
Yes, the people in the choir have choir practice twice a week. The vast majority of our juniors are actually in the choir. They all thoroughly enjoy it. And it's 2 lunchtimes a week rehearsal coming up to a concert. We have the school plays, we have the carol service at Christmas, and then we have a summer concert in July where every child in school participates something musically, whether it be singing or playing an instrument.
That's fantastic. You mentioned about sport and you participate in most sports here, and you were saying you compete against other schools in the area. When do these matches take place? I mean, do you still do it, say, on a Saturday morning or after school? Because this has become more difficult, isn't it, over the years?
It seems to have become a lot more difficult trying to play matches. It seems that the problem has relaxed a little bit more recently. And there was a time when schools weren't able to play any matches at all after school and because there weren't teachers to take the children and so on. We tend to play a game on a sports afternoon. Our games afternoon is Friday.
Yes. Internally?
Keelar in Upper Calais, when we've played them on a Friday afternoon, or we've gone there on a Wednesday, which is their games afternoon. So
you play them quite regularly?
We haven't played them quite regularly, actually. We play a variety of schools in the area. There isn't a lot of time in a school to organise matches. And quite a lot of the children are playing. You couldn't organise a game at a weekend because a lot of the children are playing for their own clubs and things during the during the weekend anyway.
Yeah, so you've got to work within certain parameters.
Yes,
right?
I
believe you run a father's cricket team. How does that work?
Yes, so, 26 years old now, the father's cricket team. We're called the Harpists, purely because there's a harp in the school badge.
Yeah, where does that logo come from?
We haven't the foggiest idea where it comes from.
No.
Why Craigenose School is called Craigenose, we're not really sure. The Lloyd brothers, who I mentioned at the beginning, they were devotees of Madame Patti at Craigenose Castle. And we can only assume, we've got no history of the school up until about 1960. A predecessor of mine seems to have either lost or destroyed the previous history of the school, which for a school with such a history, it's a great shame. So we're slowly trying to piece the jigsaw together with any information we can get from anybody who finds anything in the loft or whatever.
Yeah, there could be something out there.
Yes, there could somewhere. Be things out there.
Yeah.
Going back to the name, we can only assume it was Craigenose because Craigenose Castle was influential to the Lloyd brothers. Mm. As for the harp, it's a musical connection.
No, it's just one of those things.
Yeah. It's not a Welsh harp either, I don't think.
Right.
I think it might even be an Irish harp, which complicates life even more.
It makes it even more difficult, Anyway, going back...
The father's cricket team.
Yes, great. Yes.
We only play friendlies.
Where do you play?
We play at Merton,
right,
which is our home pitch.
Yeah.
We play other church and pub teams, play once or twice a week during the summer term.
Is this a league?
No, we don't play in league.
No.
Some of us are getting a little bit long in the tooth. There are some league players who play for us,
right?
But playing league cricket, I still keep wicket at my ancient age, and some of the balls come down a bit too quickly in league cricket for me these days.
Yeah,
it's a bit too dangerous.
You need a helmet on.
We play for a bit of exercise, a bit of fun. We don't like to lose, but often we do.
Yeah.
A drink and a sandwich afterwards, and it's a nice social gathering.
It's all very enjoyable.
Yeah,
great. I understand, obviously many schools organise overseas trips, and I understand you've organised a trip recently, or been on a trip recently to France. Was that right?
Yes, because we do, we started this about 25 years ago. Because the children learn French, it seemed a sensible thing to try and take our 10, 11-year-olds to France to learn a little bit more about the language and the culture. Mm-hmm. Now we go to Normandy every year. We used to do Normandy one year and Paris the other. But we were due to go to Paris after 9/11, and it didn't seem a very sensible place to go with a group of children at that time.
No, absolutely.
So we evolved a two-year cycle of trips to Normandy.
Yeah.
One year we look at the D-Day landings because we stay in a beachside sort of youth hotel which overlooks the Mulberry Harbour at Arromanches. So it's a perfect place to focus on the Second World War for one year. And then the other year, which was this year, we did the culture of France. We had a snail farm, goat cheese farm. We made bread at a boulangerie. Went to a chocolate factory.
Fantastic.
Things like that. So they're learning French.
Yes.
And at the age of 10 and 11, children are quite happy. They're quite happy to talk a language they don't really understand. They're not embarrassed by saying
not
things
at all, no.
And learn a lot more from it. Yes. I remember at the age of 12 when I just started doing French, I wouldn't have said anything to anybody, but a child can go into a boulangerie and want a croissant but ask for the toilet and not be at all embarrassed by it to these days, so at this age.
Yes.
So it's a very good trip.
Excellent. And I think making them aware of the Second World War and all that took place then, because I'm sure there are many children who really know very little about it.
Yes, there are. And at the moment, the children still have grandparents who were either involved or remember it. But within a very few years, then we're going to have no one left who remembers it at all. Exactly. And it was such a huge event in our history. And so many men gave their lives for our freedom. And we go to the American War Cemetery at Omaha Beach with 9,500 crosses all lined up in perfect symmetry going down to the Omaha Beach. And even 10-year-olds are moved.
Yes.
By what they see,
I can
there.
Imagine.
You know, and outside, I think it's very important to keep that that knowledge.
And if you go into a war cemetery, the inscriptions are quite heart-rending.
Yes,
from the parents and so on, and it doesn't do them any harm, I think.
No, not at all.
To know that,
and of course, the warfare is so different today.
Yes,
and I think more people were killed in the first hour of D-Day than have died in the entire Afghan conflict.
Oh, it was horrific.
It is something that there is so much in Normandy of the Second World War.
Yes.
The museums are fantastic, and the quality of the museums are so good that I think it's something almost that children should do as a matter of course during their school time.
Totally agree. Have you ever been with the school to the 1940s museum on Fabian Way?
Yes. We take our year three watch a television programme about evacuees, and they tend to go down there every year.
Yeah.
So that's a good introduction to it.
It is, yes. It's an excellent place. What about locally? Presumably, we've just talked about the Wartime Museum. Are there places that you go locally?
Yes, we've got our own minibuses, so a class which fits in a minibus can go anywhere whenever it wants to. So we do a lot of trips in line with the work that the children are doing in class. What are examples? Penclacwith, the wetlands in Llanelli, we go to regularly.
Yeah.
We go to the museum regularly. Go as far afield as the galleries in Cardiff, St Fagans, anywhere that's within a day trip, really.
I notice you've got a fairly active PTA here. What sort of things do they do for the school? What do they get involved in?
Yeah, it's an unofficial PTA, but it's evolved as a way of the parents socialising together
and supporting the school.
And supporting the school as well. We've got a race night coming up in a few weeks time. We do a couple of different things during the year, fundraising events. We've got the Christmas bazaar and the summer fete, so there are things that the people get involved in.
Yes.
And being a small community where everybody knows everybody else, it tends to be something that parents like to do as well now and again.
Well, I must say Craigenos does seem to be an excellent place to come to, from all that you've said and the way that children are catered for and all that they get given. There is a question of cost, obviously. I mean, roughly what are the fees in a school like this?
The fees are roughly £1,600 a term, three terms in the year. Sounds a lot when you talk about it termly. In terms of hourly cost, it works out at about £3.75, £3.80, which, interestingly, is slightly more than the cost of playgroup, which is £3.60 an hour.
Yes.
So it doesn't really change from the age of 2 through to 10 or 11, greatly.
From what you say, it seems to be well worth the money. Are the children assessed before they come here? Or do you have any sort of entrance tests? Or
no, we have a number of children will come to us at different ages throughout the age bands, for various reasons, moving into the area or whatever. It's nice to meet the children before they come. We have an informal interview. Obviously, parents have a look round, but there's nothing formal from that point of view.
Do you have sort of open days?
Yes, we had an open day just before the end of last term.
Right.
But most parents would prefer to pick up the phone and ask to come and come and have a look around rather than coming to an open day when everything is.
Yes.
Is as the school wants it to be, rather than necessarily the parents seeing it as a normal day.
Yeah, quite. Is the school full at the moment? Have you got spare places?
We've got some classes which are full, but we've got other classes with some spaces. It tends to vary.
Yeah. So, as does a state school.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is all very good. I mean, you know, it's common knowledge that through the newspapers and so on that economic conditions are tough, and many private schools have been having a tough time, but it's nice to see the Craigenos is thriving and everything is going pretty well. You would agree with that?
Yes. I mean, times have been easier
for everybody.
Tough for everybody at the moment. But yes, we're a happy little community.
Yes, with a good reputation. Oh. As far as catering goes, and you know, your lunches and so on. Is that all done on the premises, or do you?
Yes. Yes, we've got our own catering department.
Yeah.
Our own cook who cooks the food.
Yeah.
Some children have school lunches. Some have packed lunches.
Yes.
Tends to vary.
Yeah. So.
But it's a school lunch that the children enjoy.
Yes. Nothing is brought in.
No, it's all cooked on the premises.
Yeah. Fine. Okay, well, thank you, Gareth, for your welcome and hospitality. It's really been interesting. look forward to coming back again.
Yes, pleasure.
And, you. You know, we can cover maybe some of your forthcoming events if we keep in touch with each other. And mm-hmm. I look forward to that.
Yeah, great.
Again, many thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been Peter Tremuren for Oystermouth Radio at Craigenose School in Bishopston.